Peter Burns, Kenny George here on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz. Guests appear on the Dan Le Batard Show, appear via the Shell Pinzo Performance Line. Katie George, Sports Center update, take it away, please.
Barry Alvarez and the University of Wisconsin's athletic department is projecting revenue losses between $60 million and $70 million if the Badgers play a conference-only 10-game season, and losses of more than $100 million if the upcoming football season is canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. Washington Nationals outfielder Juan Soto has tested positive for the coronavirus and missed Thursday night's season opener against the New York Yankees. He has since produced multiple negative instant results, but his return to play is still to be determined. This sports center is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There is no stinging or burning involved. It's simply pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Billy, did you actually put it on the poll, the Chris Cody question about the animals? Did that actually go out from the Le Batard Show Twitter account? It did. Did Emu, at one point, was Emu at any point one of the answers given for the Twitter mentions at Le Batard Show?
So I put it out with the options of the actual animals that we said. So we have penguin, pelican, koala, baby kangaroo, blue whale, killer whale, bald eagle, and flamingo right now.
Okay.
And then I guess you, like, listeners can send in their own submissions.
All right. The Twitter poll and the Le Batard Show is brought to you by 303 Touchless Sealant for the ultimate protection. Shine in no time. What is the winner right now, Billy, with about, 8% of the precincts voting? Do we have a leader in the clubhouse at this point?
Right now, bald eagle is running away with it with 58%. The second closest is blue whale with 18%.
Okay. You seem perplexed with that, Katie.
I am, because penguin was such a good choice, but I'm more perplexed that the blue whale is getting a perm or a blowout right now. Chris, what's happening?
Yeah, my 2-year-old has decided that this is the perfect time to put makeup on and do my hair. I'm sorry.
By the way, can I tell your 2-year-old that the Toronto Blue Jays are now the Buffalo Blue Jays? Can I break that news to her? Can you put her on the microphone and get her thoughts on such said thing? Because
she's
now
busy.
Chris, what is your daughter's name, real quick?
Gracelyn.
Will she roll with the bit while she's putting makeup on you during this thing? Will Gracelyn actually be able to do this?
Did you know that the Blue Jays are going to be playing in Buffalo?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
she did.
Old news, Pete.
Wait a minute.
Old news.
Who does Gracelyn know that she knew before the United States of America and Canada, for that matter?
Her and Kirkchin text a lot.
Really? Are you sure it's not Jeff Passan in the Elmo voice? Isn't that, probably would have worked.
That would have made sense more, yeah.
What does she think about Juan Soto testing positive, but then 2 rapid-fire negative tests? Should he have actually played, Chris Cody? Can you ask your 2-year-old daughter that?
Gracelyn, should Juan Soto have played last night?
What?
She's getting shy now. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Maybe I'm sorry. This is not working.
No, I think it's working just fine.
She's trying to multitask. Okay, just so everybody can paint a picture. She had a blow dryer, mm-hmm. and so she was blow drying his hair. She then switched to a blush brush and was rosing up Chris's already pink cheeks. And then she started brushing his hair with a brush, and now she's back to doing makeup. And she actually has a hair straightener as well, a pink hair straightener. This is a lot of tools.
A lot of
tools that this 2-year-old has.
I have one more question. Will you ask Gracelyn, will there be college football played at least a 10-game schedule?
I'm sensing a yes to a lot of these questions is just her default. But Gracelyn, do you think college football is going to be played this season?
Yeah.
Okay, good. This is I need a yes person. We all need a yes person in our life, Katie George. That's what we need. We need a Gracelyn in our life. Yes, Roy.
Claire is a no person, unfortunately, so she's not going to be good for this one.
Is she around? Can Claire hop in and get her thoughts on the Toronto Blue Jays now officially going to be playing in Buffalo in their AAA park? Is she around to do that?
Well, I could try to get her, but she's entrenched in watching Blaze and the Monster Machines on television right now. So
it could be a testy segment. Is that what you're saying? Would it be better than the Mike Norvell interview we did earlier today with Florida State head coach? Why are you guys, why is everybody's got their hand over their head right now like I did something wrong? What did I do wrong there? I like Mike Norvell. I think he's going to have more success than Willie Taggart in Tallahassee.
If that was an SEC coach, if that was an SEC coach, would we be having that conversation? Would you have made that comment, Mr. SEC suck up?
I don't believe I would have gotten a coach speak answer so much that I got from Mike Norvell. But I do like Mike Norvell. Like, why would you not? He did a great job in Memphis, the offense. Willie Taggart kind of looked, no, he didn't kind of look lost. He looked absolutely lost in Tallahassee. I think we can all agree with that. I'm wishing Mike Norvell the best. That's all I'm, what is wrong with that?
Nothing. And he's got the talent to do it, to maybe be a contender down there against Clemson, who you say is just a cakewalk at all times.
I would just say, now Roy, real quick, remind me your daughter's name again is?
Her name's Claire.
Okay, will you ask Claire, will Florida State and Mike Norvell be a great hire? Will they test Clemson here the next year or two?
Claire, will FSU test Clemson based on the new coaching pick in Mike Norvell?
We need a yes or no.
It looks like a no on this one.
Is that a no? Can you preface or say yes or no?
Yes or no?
Okay.
She said okay.
Okay. Okay. That's fine. Okay. We got an okay.
I just wish this was a visual medium. I wish this was a visual medium because you guys with your daughters is actually very cute.
Yes,
it's heartwarming.
We can all agree that Claire and Graceland have said more than Mike Norvell did during his interview.
Okay.
That is fair to say to a certain extent. I did not say that was Chris Cody because I disagree with that. I thought he was actually pretty good.
So it's opening day yesterday. It was opening day.
Let's go Wizard of Oz into this.
Okay.
What exactly is a head foot? Like, this is the worst time ever for a head football coach to have to do an interview. So I'm actually going to stick up for Mike Norvell right now because what exactly can you say? Like, no matter what answer, what questions we ask, they're all hypotheticals at this point, right? Like, that's why SEC, ACC, Big Ten, that's why everybody has pushed back their media days going virtual right now, and no one has had them because there's no real good answers that a college coach can give. What is Mike Norvell or Ed Ogeron or Clay Helton or Lincoln Riley, what are they supposed to say? Do you want football? Of course they want football, right? What are you doing, coach, to protect the players? They're going to say that they're protecting the players. Like, no one was going to say, like, I got to be honest with you, I don't know why we're going through this. I mean, you guys are paying me $6.5 million, so, I mean, I'll go through all the hoops and, you know, all the hoops right now just to pretend. Like, I don't blame any coach for having a coach cliched interview right now. Now, if I do one of these interviews in the middle of the season, Katie, and a coach gives me just bland coach speak, I'm pretty upset,
sure.
But I'm not sure what you can get out of a coach right now, leading into the season.
Look, thank you, which is fair because it's not an enviable situation to be in if you're them. Because no matter what they say at this point in time, or no matter what they don't say at this point in time, becomes news, right? No matter which coach is on a radio show, on TV, their soundbite gets clipped and it runs wild, right? Because Mac Brown said, I'm not even turning my attention to spring football. I am fully preparing as if we are playing this fall. That, to me, okay, that was good information to know. I mean, what else can you do? What else do you expect him to say? Like, oh yeah, we've mailed it in. We're expecting fully for a spring, but we have no idea because we haven't been told that. I mean, I don't envy these guys in their situations. I would want blinders on, head down, and I'd want my team to be in a little bubble pushing away the outside noise at this given time because it's crazy.
I'm not going to feel too bad for a football coach, especially in the FBS level, because most of them have at least two commas in their yearly annual income. So they're doing okay. You know, they're not laboring 60 hours doing hard manual labor. But at the end of the day, they are in a tough spot when it comes to answering questions because they don't know. Major League Baseball didn't know. Major League Baseball, in its greatness for 100-some-odd years since Abner Doubleday invented the game, as of yesterday, 4 hours before first pitch, Major League Baseball didn't even know how many teams they were going to have in their damn postseason. Like, no one knows anything in 2020. And it's okay. It's fine. We're going to make it.
But now we know. Penguin. 16 games, and the Blue Jays are no longer displaced and homeless. They are playing in Buffalo. Peter Burns, they are working on the lighting situation. That was one of the biggest, I guess, issues that they said, oh, we don't want to play in Buffalo. It's not a major league park, and there's not enough lights. So they are tending to that. They want to have a home stadium of sorts. They don't want to be road warriors for the entire 60-game season. So look, now they're figuring it out, even though it took a couple of days for them to find a home.
You can follow her on Twitter, Katie_George05, our favorite Pudgy Penguin. We'll get back into the Levitard Show Twitter account. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. And Chris Cody is probably going to get calls from ESPN radio executives here in a little bit. No Levitard, no Stugatz. No problem. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Peter Burns, Katie George, rolling with you. In case you missed any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours of the Dan Levitard Show, plus the Miami-only Lauer Hour and the Best of Podcasts on Demand, the ESPN app, and subscribe to Levitard and Friends Podcast Network featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crate. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week where you get your podcasts. Katie George, I feel like over the last 3 months, been doing sports talk radio, we've just meandered through this desert of no sports topics, right? Just, hey, is football going to be back? Is NBA going to be back? Blah, 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 blah. And there was very few actual tangible topics. And then all of a sudden, I feel like in the middle of this desert, all of these water fountains are starting to pop up, right? We get Major League Baseball opening day yesterday. Yankees defeat the Nats. You got Dodgers over the Giants. Clayton Kershaw on the DL already whipped his back. You have Juan Soto for the Nationals not being able to play because of a positive COVID test, which now people are wondering if it was actual a false positive. Now you've got two Braves catchers, as of earlier today, about 30 minutes ago, not going to be able to play, even though they've tested negative to COVID-19, but they are showing symptoms. You've got Tampa Bay Devil Rays right now on their opening day, sent out the tweet. And Roy, you tweeted it out earlier. Though I want to make sure that I get the actual tweet itself done properly. Like, I want to make sure I say it properly, because this is a team account as the Rays are opening up their season. What was the actual tweet that they said?
They said it's opening day, and it'll be a great day to arrest Breonna Taylor's killers. So they used their Twitter account.
That's your daughter jumping in as well, too.
They used their Twitter account as a means for social change.
All right, so we saw that happening with LeBron as well, too, yesterday after their scrimmage, Katie. He took to his presser, and one of the first things is, hey, arrest the killers of Breonna Taylor. You live there in Louisville. Like, this is becoming one of the social media and social justice flag bearers for what these athletes are talking about right now. How surprising is that to you?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily surprising. I think it's welcomed for people of the city of Louisville who are continuing to protest. I know that there were huge, huge turnouts across the nation in huge cities, significantly bigger than Louisville, Kentucky, and all of that gained traction. But we were put on the map in the headlines, covered in the news, national and local, because of the situation with Breonna Taylor. Well, the protests have not stopped in Louisville, Kentucky, even though some of the protests have stopped elsewhere. And so for LeBron James, I mean, a megastar whose voice is heard around the world, to come out and continue to say her name, for other NBA stars who are about to resume play to stick to their word and say, hey, when we get to Orlando, it's not just back to basketball. Like, we're using our platform and all these eyeballs on us to hopefully influence change. He's sticking to that. To have the Tampa Bay Rays, a baseball organization in Florida, use their actual official Twitter account to call out the city of Louisville and the state of Kentucky for not arresting Breonna Taylor's killers. I mean, I think you're seeing a shift in the way that people view sports from even a couple years ago, Pete, of how people thought, you know, as sports players and as teams, you shouldn't weigh in on political divisive situations or incidents. And now you're seeing everybody kind of unite in the fact that, no, we should use our voice no matter what the concern, what the decision, what the situation is.
What's interesting, Katie George, Peter Burns here on the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Geitz. What's interesting is I'm watching opening day yesterday, Yankees, Nats. I wanted to see what the whole broadcast was going to look like. And before that, players lined up on their respective foul lines, and just like to get ready for the anthem. There was a piece of kind of saying, united, we're all in together. Morgan Freeman did the voiceover work, and it was a powerful moment. And every single player on both sides took a knee. Okay? Then they played ball. We moved on. Late yesterday, Mookie Betts just signed $365 million. He's on SportsCenter. Everybody's talking about the deal that he has. Is you got Dodgers and Giants, okay? Mookie Betts, national anthem, takes a knee. And it happened. It was fine. Nobody had to jump into the parachute and just say, hey, listen, I can't. I'm out of Major League Baseball. This is a political issue whatsoever. Now, remember, Katie, Mookie was asked about it a couple years ago, and he said, you know, his father is a veteran, and said, hey, I just wasn't going to take a knee out of respect for him. Mookie took a knee and actually said, listen, I've done my research now. This was never a disrespecting the flag situation with Colin Kaepernick. This was, now that I know more about it, I'm doing it. The sun came up. We're fine. We saw baseball yesterday. Like, again, the people that are triggered by this were never truly fans of Major League Baseball or the NFL. They were fans of outrage. They were fans of people just not wanting voices heard. And I, at the end of the day, it does not surprise me, Katie, that you have more and more people doing this, and more people are just accepting of it, especially in the sports world.
Well, you brought it up a couple weeks ago when the MLS returned, right? I mean, there was a lot, because a lot of controversy and questions about what's going to happen when the MLS starts playing games, since they're the first sport, major league sport, to be back and to play games. What are they going to do as a group to stand as a united front? How are they going to handle the national anthem? And, you know, there was a lot of calls of like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if they kneel? I won't watch it, you know, yada, 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 all this stuff. And you see that time and time again with, you know, fans calling out Baker Mayfield and J.J. Watt of the NFL, mm-hmm. and then baseball players. And to your point, you see it, you watch it, you witness it, you take it in. And then soccer was played. And then baseball was played. And not to say you move on from it and that you don't take into account what just happened, but I think people act outraged for the sake of just wanting to be upset about something and to write to their Twitter followers and to just make noise and make controversy. And I don't know really who's sitting at home thinking, oh, I'm going to turn it off after seeing that, and not waiting for the actual product that drew them there in the first place.
Yeah, this is the same people going, I'm never watching a game again, or I hate the Dan Le Batard Show. And then they come back and they say, well, yeah, I still listen to every single minute of it. Those are the people that are out there. You can follow her on Twitter at Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. More coming up here. Le Batard Show, Stu Geitz. I'll admit it. It is Peter Burns, Katie George here for Dan Le Batard and the Stu Geitz Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Katie_George05, myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. And I remember, all guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Dean Karnazes is going to be joining us here in a couple of minutes. But first, right now, a SportsCenter update with Katie, the pudgy penguin George.
Barry Alvarez in the University of Wisconsin's athletic department is projecting revenue losses between $60 million and $70 million if the Badgers play a conference-only 10-game season, and losses of more than $100 million if the upcoming football season is canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. The Atlanta Braves just announced both catchers, Tyler Flowers and Travis d'Arnaud, will not be available today. They both tested negative but have shown symptoms and are currently back in Atlanta. This sports center is brought to you by Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast and you won't stink. It's pharmacist recommended, odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. There's no stinging or burning involved. It's simply pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Thank you, Katie George. A lot of stuff going on. Major League Baseball continues their opening day for a bunch of different teams. Of course, remember, saw the news yesterday. The Nats were out the services of Juan Soto as they lost to the Yankees 4-1. Dodgers won 8-1. Kiki Hernandez 4-5 from the plate. And so we could have gone a bunch of different ways. We could have had Jeff Passan on to talk Major League Baseball. We could have talked to someone to talk about Jamal Adams and him just throwing Adam Gase underneath the bus, saying pretty much trying to force his way out of there. But then we get an email earlier this week about the event that's coming up tomorrow, and it's Bike for Humanity, and Bill Walton is a part of it, but also Dean Karnazes is joining us right now, and ultra marathoner, and I'm so intrigued by all of this, because I hate even running to the end of my neighborhood, Katie, and so I'm reading these accolades that you have, Dean, as you're part of this Bike for Humanity. You once ran 350 miles in 80 hours without sleep in 2005. My question here is, why?
I couldn't sleep, so I decided I'll just run down the block, and it just kept going. But no, I wanted to see how far I could go. I just had a curiosity, like, hey, if I walk out my front door and start running, how far can I make it? And that was it, 350 miles.
I mean, but that's like just one of, I'm reading like 80 different accomplishments, Dean. You ran 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 consecutive days. Where did that idea come from, and what was the worst state to run a marathon in?
it was a thought. I heard about a guy who was part of this 50-state club. He was saying, you know, I've run a marathon in every state, and I didn't even know every state had a marathon. And I said, how long did it take you? And he said, 9 years. And I thought, God, I'm going to be dead in 9 years. I wonder if I could, you know, do it in 50 days. So that's where it came from. And the worst state to run in, I hate to say this, it was so humid in Florida. I'm from California. We have heat, but not like what you guys have. It was that humidity is crushing.
It is. Like, it's a soup. Like, you're basically just swimming in soup, and that's what it is. Now, you guys are a part tomorrow of this Bike for Humanity. You can go check it out. BikeForHumanity.com is an initiative created by Hall of Famer Bill Walton back in April, and y'all are doing your second rendition. And tell us a little bit about what this is before I ask just the weird questions about getting back into some of the accolades you have.
Well, it's a charity bike ride, and you're right. It started by Bill Walton, who... You know, the guy, like I said, Bill, let's go running. He can't run. The guy, first of all, the guy is huge. So, big people have a tougher time running. And so, but he's a huge cyclist. So he started this Bike for Humanity. I'm riding this thing called an Elliptigo, which is a stand up bike. I'm a runner. I can't sit down. So this company called Elliptigo made a bike that's basically like an elliptical machine in the gym. And that's how you ride it, standing up. So I'm going to try to ride what's called a century, 100 miles on the Elliptigo as my part. And if you participate in Bike for Humanity, it's all virtual, and you can ride a mile, or you can ride 100 miles with me. But you can do it in your driveway, or you can head out someplace safe, and that's what it's all about. And kudos to Bill Walton. I mean, we're going to raise, I think, upwards of $1 million for charity. So
wow.
He continues to be a big force.
You mentioned the word virtual, which obviously we are all learning and are familiar with at this point. How did your plans change, or how did you guys have to adapt this event when obviously COVID started?
I mean, I was listening to your broadcast, prior to you asking that question. I'm just thinking it's crazy everything has changed. I mean, the way the baseball is being played without people in the bleachers. And it's the same thing with Bike for Humanity. I mean, typically you'd ride up to like an aid station where there'd be a bunch of volunteers, handing you food and Gatorade and that sort of thing. That's just not happening now. So it's basically you just do it in your neighborhood, wherever you live across the world. I mean, this is a global event, and you know, you're self-supported. You know, I ride with a, what's called a hydration pack. I carry everything I need on my pack, and that's how I get it done.
Dean Karnas is joining us right now, ultra marathoner, being part of these Bike for Humanity that's taking place tomorrow. For more information, go to bikeforhumanity.com. Now, we do have a bevy of different questions we're going to ask. We're going to go around the horn here with the Levitard crew. But at what point did all of a sudden you're like, I'm just going to start running really far and doing these ultra marathons? Like 8 years old, 12 years old? At what time did you think, yeah, this is my shtick?
That's a loaded question. I used to love to run when I was a kid, but then I stopped running when I was a teenager. You know, I thought running was boring. And then I was in a bar on my 30th birthday, you know, doing what everyone does on their 30th birthday. And at midnight, my buddy said, let's have another round of tequila to celebrate your 30th birthday. And I said, no, I'm going to go run 30 miles to celebrate instead. And they looked at me and they said, but you're not a runner. You're drunk. And I said, yeah, I am drunk, but I'm still going to do it. And I literally walked out of a bar in San Francisco at midnight, took off my pants. I had, you know, these comfortable silk jockey, you know, underwear on, and just stumbled off into the night. And literally that night, I ran the entire night. It took me about 7.5 hours and ended up in a city called Half Moon Bay, which is 30 miles away from San Francisco.
Ooh.
And that's after that point, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a runner. And I quit my job and started running.
You're drunk on tequila, leaving a bar at midnight, you rip off your pants and you decide, I'm 7.5 hours later, I think I'm going to Forrest Gump this. This is fascinating to me, Kay.
It was all good until the tequila wore off. After about 10 or 12 miles, you know, the numbness of being drunk dissipated. And then there was the pain of running. But it just felt right. I kept going and that was it. Stopped drinking and started running.
I mean, what kind of shoes did you have on?
So funny. They were like gardening shoes. I remember they were like Reebok gardening shoes. I didn't own running stuff. I mean, I hadn't run in 15 years. And, you know, obviously there was some chafing where the sun don't shine. There was some blistering going on that night. But I still made it. And that was it. I just said, I went and bought some running shoes after that and started running.
Dean Karnas is joining us right now, ultra marathoner. He's being a part of this Bike for Humanity coming up tomorrow. It's funny because when we do these interviews, everybody occasionally will raise their hand because they have a question. Every single person here on the Levitard Show has raised their hand like 3 or 4 times with follow-ups. Chris Cowdy, go ahead, take it away. First question.
I'm curious with, like, you're such a great runner. I'm wondering if you get, like, normal cramps or you feel pain when you're doing this. What is the worst pain you get on a long run? And if you get cramps, do you just power through them? How do you deal with them?
Yeah, that's funny. I guess I don't feel pain as much as others. It's hard to say because, you know, when I run 100 miles, you know, next to another person and they say I'm in so much pain, I still feel pain, but I don't know if their pain is worse than my pain. But one thing it's funny. I don't cramp. Like, I've never had a muscle cramp. Thank goodness it looks horrible. I've seen people cramping before and it just looks painful. So I don't cramp. I think the worst thing that happens to me is like when I ran 350 miles, that third night of running, I was waking up running down the middle of the road and I was thinking, why am I running down the middle of the road? And I'd meander back over the shoulder and then I'd wake up running down the middle of the road again. I realized that I was sleep running. I was falling asleep, but just willing my body to keep going and sleep running.
Wait, how long did you go without actual sleep?
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't stop. I ran straight through 3 nights.
What? Right,
Billy, I need a second to comprehend this. Go, Billy.
Okay, so I see that you've run through the South Pole, you've run through Death Valley, you ran from Disneyland to New York, you've sleep run, you decide on your 30th birthday just to go running. You seem like you don't sit still. So what is the longest that you've just sat still and not gone running because you were bored?
That's a good question. I mean, I've been doing this now, I don't want to date myself, for over 2 decades, and the longest I've ever not run has been 2 days. I had a really bad flu and yeah, I was going crazy. I was driving my family crazy and I went running and I felt better. So, it's been 2 days that I haven't run and I never sit down. I mean, even right now, I'm standing up, I've had a stand, you know, my whole office is set up at standing level, and I've got a pull-up bar in there and a sit-up mat, and I do HIIT training throughout the day. But I never sit down. I eat standing up. I do everything standing up. And that gets back to why, even on this bike ride tomorrow, I'm riding a standing-up bike. I can't sit down.
Do your friends hate you? Like, I just feel, I feel at this point, like, you're the guy that they're like, oh, great. Yeah, here comes Dean. Wants to probably go running again.
You know, if running is your thing, I guess I'm it. But to a lot of people, running, like, as you were saying, you don't like running down the driveway.
I learn something new every single day. Dean Karnazes, what you and Bill Walton are doing is going to be great. So many other questions, and I'll follow up at a different time, including bleeding and all kinds of things. All right, it's Bike for Humanity is going to be a fantastic event tomorrow. Best of luck, and I guess keep running, my friend.
Thanks, Dean.
Hey, thank you. You guys take care of yourself.
More we will.
Strength and endurance to you. Be well.
I mean, seriously, I had 32 double stuffed Oreos, and I've sat in Indian style on the couch right now doing this show, and now I've never felt so bad about myself in my life. Peter Burns, Katie George, the Pudgy Penguin. Then you're just part of the crew here. I feel like baptism by fire. We get those emails as well, too. We got one in the commercial break, Katie George. You two are by far the worst repeat show hosts I have ever heard in the years we've been listening to the Levitard and Stugat show. Please stop hosting. Yes. We're making it, Katie George. Thank you.
I'm hurt.
Did it really hurt your feelings? It didn't hurt your feelings.
No, but Peter, hiring can be difficult. Did you know that?
Oh, live read time.
Which I clearly bombed in the last one. Hiring can be difficult, Peter. But if you're a company that's currently trying to hire, you face new difficulties from safely reopening your doors to finding the right person for a specialized role. Housing Wire could relate. They needed to hire an ambitious reporter to cover news stories on the U.S. mortgage and housing markets. So they turned to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's smart matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And that's how Housing Wire found Alexandra Roja. Alexandra never imagined she could get a reporter job in the midst of COVID-19. Hiring was frozen, and the idea of looking for a job was discouraging. So she created a profile on ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter matched Alexandra to HousingWire's reporter job because her degree and writing skills were a great fit for the role. HousingWire received her application only 4 hours after they posted the job. A few weeks later, Alexandra started her dream career. See how ZipRecruiter can help you hire. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Dan.
Okay, George, Peter Burns, ESPN Radio, always presented by Progressive Insurance as well. Sounds this week brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. I've gotten a bunch of tweets at Peter Burns ESPN going, what a great interview with the running guy, Dean. I'm sitting in my car stunned. How many times did he vomit tequila during his birthday dash? I do have some follow-ups. We may have to get Dean back on this show. If you had one follow-up, Cody, for Dean, the marathon runner, what is it going to be? Are you buying the idea that on his 30th birthday, he was just drunk at the bar in gardening shoes and went out and jogged 30 miles?
It's not a good look. I know Tony, as the bougie guy on our staff here, he was not approving of that setup at a
Tony.
Bar.
Like, how are you going to go to your birthday party and what he said was Reebok gardening shoes? What does that even mean?
I don't
know.
Should
we Google on them? You're at the bar? Like, what does that mean?
Well, maybe it's a neighborhood bar. And at that point, if it's at midnight, he's just hanging out with his boys. You know, you think a 30-year-old, like AC, like, Tony, you would do live. I mean, you would do something, right? You would do some big-type club party. But maybe this guy's more of a neighborhood bar guy, and all of a sudden he decides, I'm getting hammered on tequila, and I'm rolling 30 miles out, Katie.
To be fair, though, like if it was a bourbon or even a vodka, like maybe that would kind of put you to sleep and wouldn't amp you up. But tequila's an upper. So tequila like gets you going. And so maybe that's what he needed to find his way back into the running community and start this unbelievable career. But he said the tequila took 10 to 12 miles to wear off. I don't know how fast he runs his miles. Like, that's a lot of tequila to get out of your system, I think.
Billy, how far could you run right now? Like, right now, no. After the show ends in 30 seconds.
Without stopping?
Without yes. Band-Aids.
Without Band-Aids.
Like a quarter mile, maybe?
Cody couldn't even get past the driveway.
How far could you run, Pete?
Fair.
I think I can get 3 miles. I feel like I can get 3 miles in before it really hurts.
Well, like, what's the question? Like, do you have to do it? Like, what's at stake here? Just like, if you have the will, like, if you had the will, it'd be like 3 miles. But like,
I think you could do it. Roy, what do you got in you?
To the front door.
To the front door. That's it. Dynamite that's, drop in there at the end of the
that
show.
That seems on
Katie,
brand.
You can follow her on Twitter. Katie_George05. Myself at Peter Burns, ESPN. Hey, y'all have a wonderful, safe weekend. Opening day's kind of here unless you have COVID-19.